going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
More draft talk. Guess what? That's what we're doing the rest of the week. The Caps play tonight, though, so we'll certainly talk about Game 2 on tomorrow's show. Joining me right now is one of my trusted draft experts, college football experts, because he is one, Stanford Steve from ESPN, of course, part of Scott Sports Center and a big part of College Game Day as well, at Stanford Steve 82 on X on Twitter. Max just said that you wanted to start this conversation by asking me a question. So what is it?
I got caught in a wormhole doing your favorite thing in the world and reading and watching stuff about the new stadium proposal and all that stuff. And it made me think, you know, everybody, I'm sure all your listeners have seen for the first time the demolition trucks inside RFK, and I just started thinking about all the old times. But I had a number in my head. Has FedEx Field only hosted two Redskin or Commander home playoff games in the 26 years? Is it the RG3 game and the Heineken game?
No, three. They hosted in 99, they hosted the Lions in a wild card game. By the way, Gus Frerotte was the starting quarterback for the Lions. Washington won that game with Brad Johnson. By the way, there was an accident on the Beltway, and the crowd basically wasn't in their seats until midway through the second quarter. Then the RG3 game after 2012 this against Seattle, and then Cousins and the 2015 NFC East champion Redskins hosted the Packers in a playoff game at home.
And then Heineken. So there's four.
Oh, my God. Of course. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. The other day, I was mentioning the playoff games, and typically somebody would have mentioned that to me, but nobody did. It took you to mention it, but the reason that it's forgettable is there were no fans.
You couldn't,
it was COVID.
You couldn't go.
Yeah. They have hosted four playoff games at FedEx Field. I forgot that the Tom Brady Buccaneers coming in here. You know, our fans, bless their hearts, believe that we gave Tampa and Taylor Heineke gave Tampa the toughest game on the way to the Super Bowl. That's not true. They had very tough games, you know, against New Orleans and then obviously at Lambeau in the NFC Championship game. But that may have been the highlight game for Taylor Heineke. He was awesome that night.
He was spectacular. He was awesome that night. They had the ball with a chance.
Yeah, they did, down 31-23. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good for – I mean, four. I mean, if you want to count Tampa in 2020 or January 2021, the stadium hosted a whopping four playoff games. But guess what? I think it's going to host a lot more in its final five seasons.
That's how many we have? Five? Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll take the over.
What is the over-under? Is it four?
And
a half?
I would say I'll say four.
Well, no, let's make the real over-under. Jaden Daniels and this team playing five more seasons What's the over-under on hosted playoff games at FedEx, or at Northwest Field, it's called now? It might be higher than 4.5.
Yeah, it's going to be, because I'm just thinking first round. I'll go 6. 6.5?
Yeah. 6.5 is probably the right number, because you're going to have a season or two where you host more than one.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be high up there. So the expectations there, though, that's for, you couldn't say that a year ago right now.
No, you can't. All right, let's talk draft. So you know how much I love your takes, because you know these coaches, you know these players, you've seen a lot of these teams up close. Let's just start, even though thankfully we don't care about the quarterbacks here in D.C. in this draft. How do you see the quarterbacks? I don't think we've talked about this. And I'll start with, where would Cam Ward have been drafted last year, in your opinion?
Oh, gosh. Who was taken after Penix?
After Penix would have been McCarthy.
And then after McCarthy?
Nix.
Behind those guys.
All of them.
QB, yeah. Yeah, I would. I found him when he was leaving Incarnate Word. He's a zero-star prospect. Everybody knows the story now. But when he went to Wazoo and brought his offensive coordinator, I was like, this is – in that conference, I'm like, he's going to be able to do damage, because there wasn't a lot of NFL players in that conference at the time, and being a Pac-12 guy. And he made strides, but at the end of the tenure, it wasn't pretty. And I give himself credit. He got himself a lot better. He went to a place in Miami who underachieved when you look at the grand scheme of things, I think, with Miami fans and expectations. But they didn't lose because of the offense. Like, he found a way in every game. You go back to the Louisville game against Shuck, who's probably my QB2. In this draft, and that's just a fumble exchange, or else Louisville wins that game, and that their whole narrative changes. But I just look at, he's not lackadaisical, Kevin, but the holding on to the football for the last second, it sped up. He had trouble when he went from Incarnate Word to Wazoo with that, because he's playing against better competition. And now I watched a lot of ACC football this year. It wasn't great. And now to be expected to do that at the next level, I think it's going to be a tough deal, unless he changes and speeds up. Sense of urgency, I think, is monstrous. And it actually is kind of what I worried about with Drake May. I thought he was a little lackadaisical, but he didn't have the protection. Cam Ward had some good guys up front that you're going to see in the next couple drafts drafted on that offensive line. So I just think he has to really hone in on speeding things up, because of how much faster – things happen at this level. And for the crew of quarterbacks in this draft, it's all their problems. I think they're not great processors, and every guy has their different situation. A lot of it is underman on the offensive line. But if you look at Shador, he had NFL – there's four receivers he had on his team invited to the combine. So he's throwing to guys with talent, but his processing and overall arm strength are the things that will hinder him moving forward. But I would have Cam way down the list of last year's quarterbacks.
So you said something about Cam Ward that's interesting to me. I totally agree. I think sometimes the word I used is that occasionally he's very casual. But I also said, you know, one of the knocks on Caleb and on Jaden coming out is that, you know, they tried to play too much, you know, hero ball. And the three of them had something in common. Caleb Williams at SC, Jaden at LSU, Cam Ward last year at Miami. They all three played on horrific defensive football teams.
Correct.
Where they had to stay on the field, or they were walking back out there with the other team having just scored a touchdown. And I really saw that with Jaden. Like, he understood, if we don't stay on the field, if the punter comes out here, we're down another 7. And I think that was part of the Cam Ward situation at Miami.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Their defense was a liability.
Terrible.
And they were able to hide it for much of the part because of him. And being at that Cal game, you know, that was one of those 11 o'clock Eastern games. We were there for game day. It got to a point where they were down, I think, 24, and he had – there was only limited possessions. They had to get 7 points on four straight drives, and he did it. And people will say, "Oh, Cal, they stink." That place was nuts that night in that atmosphere, and to see him do that in what was it, his fourth or fifth game with the team and his surrounding. I really take that into consideration. And again, I go back to the Louisville game and even the Syracuse game, which knocked them out of the ACC championship game in the playoff. The defense was invisible on his team. So he had, you know, a bad turnover, but again, he's pressing because he has to, and they know they have to score touchdowns in order to make up for their bad defense.
So you would have picked him after all the guys last year. I think I liked him. I like him more than you. And I would have had him ahead of McCarthy and Bo Nix. Beside that, is he your number one quarterback?
Yeah, he is. Okay. I also think, Kevin, I like the turn we're taking with the evaluation of the quarterback process. I hate to do it. I always go back to Mitch Trubisky. And when I saw the Bears trade up for him, I just kept saying to myself, he's only played like 12 games, man. And again, it's all about the situation, right? It's about the situation where you go to. Now, if you draft a guy that played 12 games and you're going to a back end of the first round of the draft with a playoff team that where they don't need him right away, I understand that when you grab, these teams are going to move up in the second round and all that. But when you're drafting a guy that doesn't play a lot of football and you're asking him to play, I think it sets you back a ton. And even, Shador, Shuck, Dart, all these top four guys have played a ton of football. So I do think they're a little bit ahead in that category, whereas we've seen guys with not the experience fail in previous drafts.
So you like Shuck second?
I do. I do. And again,
how old is he now?
He's, I think he could actually rent a car now. I think he's 25 without any parental, considerations. I listened to his interviews. He's had brutal injuries, but they weren't ACLs. They were just bone breaks. And I watch how he's grown. I absolutely love where he went when he transferred to Louisville. I think Brohm's as good as there is in college football, developing quarterbacks and teaching them. And that's why I think they're in a monstrous year with Miller Moss going there this year. But I trust Shuck. I've seen him do it. Where the other guys, there were so many things in the way of trying to evaluate. From what I watch, I put Shuck up there as a second guy.
Just wrapping it up with quarterbacks, actually two more.
Yeah.
The story tomorrow night is going to be Shedeur Sanders, and I'm totally with you. I don't get the people that say that he processes quickly. Every game that Colorado played, I'm like, my God, would you throw it with some anticipation? So do you think that he goes in the first round or not?
I do. I think it's going to be a Lamar Jackson scenario. I don't think he's going to go early. I think those teams – what people keep saying, Cleveland and New York at the beginning of the second round, and I think the Commanders are a prime team for that, knowing that they only have 5 picks and it's a chance to get more picks. I think a team jumps up. And I was listening to McShay do the point system, and it makes sense to jump from, 34 to 29 as opposed to, going from 34 to 9. So the issue I have, I still think with a toughness level, Shedeur's at the top, man. He got his butt whipped for years, but so many throws behind or at the line of scrimmage and just the idea, again, like you said, of holding on to the ball, you got guys that could separate and get open. And I just didn't see that, enough in the second year. The first year was a catastrophe because of the protection. But his overall arm strength, I don't think he compares to the other guys. They all have him. Now, if he could speed up his processing, and obviously we've seen quarterbacks do it with not great arm strength, but they're that good processing in pocket. He's great in the pocket. His pocket presence is great. But just the overall, just got to get better at processing things. Yeah. That's the number one thing now when I look at quarterbacks when they take the step to the next level.
If your front office was okay with playing dual threat college football at the NFL level, like Baltimore did for the first few years with Lamar, you know, very much, you know, a dual threat attack, would you, how would you view Jalen Milroe?
I would make him change positions. I've watched it too much. The decision. Now, I think, you know, decision making and processing, I consider two different things, and he's at the bottom of both. I mean, being on the field for that Texas game 2 years ago, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if he could do it. And then you saw Georgia really put the clamps on him after one of the best first halves I've ever been at in my life, where he didn't do things. You know, he made one throw that, you know, saved him at the end of the game. But I just – he's had enough time now, and – you know, the way he goes about leading and talking to people there, you know, a lot of teammates weren't fans of it, I feel like. And I just, he needs a mindset change, but good. I mean, as good of an athlete as there is, what was our tight end that we had? That was a quarterback at Virginia Tech that the Commanders had and had a great year.
Logan,
at tight end. If Logan Thomas could do
Logan
that,
Thomas.
I mean, Milroe would be just another level of that when you watch him run and the size of him. So that would be my assessment of Jalen Milroe.
All right, we're talking to Stanford Steve. Edge rushers, there's a lot of them in this draft. Washington has a need for one.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about edge rushers on this show. There are other positions too, but I want to see what you think of the guys that would potentially be there at 29, and just give me your overall thought on those players, and, you know, the Ezerakus, the Pierces, the Williamses, et cetera. Carter's not going to, you know, have it. They're not going to have a shot at Carter. I don't think they're going to have a shot at Green. He's my second favorite among them, but how do you see it?
Yeah, I look at what the Commanders did last year, Kevin. Didn't they draft a bunch of team captains too?
Yeah, seven out of nine.
You know, yeah, I feel like that's a big deal. And when I look at Green or Pierce, I'm sure there's teams that have them X'd. They don't want anything to do with that. The guy that's most curious to me, I watched Texas A&M four times in person this year, is Scorton. The issue is I watched him I went to practice before they played Notre Dame, and I watched him in individual drills. I'm like, man, he's built like a Greek god. Yeah. He's got get off. He's got great moves. But then you stand him next to the two Shamars on his defensive line, and you're like, oh, my God, who are these two guys? And they both got the single digits. They're both D tackles. Shamar Stewart's the most fascinating one to me. But Scorton's a guy that I think is already advanced. Like, he has more ability as a pass rusher. He doesn't rely on brute strength and quickness. What happens, I think Chase Young fell into that category. At Washington, he just overpowered everybody in college. Scorton's got some good hand stuff. I just wonder about the size and if he could be a multiple down guy. The last thing we saw in the NFL was the Eagles pounding the best quarterback in the world. So Scorton's a guy, when you take a guy like that in the first round, you want him to be multiple downs. And I wonder if Scorton's size, if it's just, I mean, you don't want to do it in the first round, like I said, but pass rushing ability, Scorton's a guy I really have an eye on.
I think you're right, definitely, about Pierce Jr. and probably about Green. Look, if Green is there at 29, that means everybody found out something they didn't like about him. What about Ezeraku from Boston College?
I love him. You listen and read about all these talent evaluators, but then I really think it still all comes down to the player evaluations of the teams. And Ezeraku, like when you look at Ezeraku and say Shamar Stewart, it's not even close in production. I think Ezeraku had 16 sacks.
Yeah.
You know, where Shamar Stewart's more
one and a half
testing guy, where, you know, he looks the build, and then you got to dive in. Why didn't he produce more? Was it their scheme? Was it their system? Was it him not finishing plays? Was it him not having, you know, playmaking ability? You know, even arm length, all that stuff, you know, facts. So you really have to dive in there. But Ezeraku, man, put the tape on. And again, I get it. It's the ACC. It was the worst conference in the country. But when you look at a team whose defense is on the field all the time, That dude produced like crazy, and there's a good track record of BC guys in the league. So I look at what he did,
and I went back to an interview he did in ACC Media Day where he was talking about, I need to get 12, and I think it was EJ Manuel that had him on. He was like, well, if you get 15, you're going in the first round, and he ends up getting 16 and a half.
Yeah.
So I think he's a super dangerous. He's got all the tools. He just played on a bad football.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You know, the thing about Stewart to me is he's like one of these straight line athletes. He doesn't see it. He can't close. He's just a big time tester because he is an athletic freak, but he doesn't know what's happening. Like when you watch it, it's like he doesn't have any kind of feel like Ezeraku does. Do you like, I love, and you're going to remember some of these games because he came up so much, so big in not only the playoff games this year, but that Penn State game as a sophomore. Do you like Tui Moloau or not?
I do. When you go back and watch it, Kevin, he's played a ton. There's a lot of pressure on those guys. I mean, you look at that position at that school and look at who you're comparing him to. I mean, it's all-timers. When you're talking about the Ohio State, with the Bosa guys and Chase and those But as solid as a guy and not a difference maker, I think he played a lot better against the run, you know, during that playoff run, which was good. But, yeah, I do like him a lot when you're looking at that second round at back end. It's amazing because, and that's my favorite part of this draft, is how it's just like the running back position. There's so many guys that can do it. It's just basically you're spoiled because you have a preference, and I just hope you're, you know, what your teams believe in, and you get the guy that you want, and it works out because there's plenty of them. And like I said, I keep going back to everyone's going to talk about what happened in the Super Bowl, and now everybody wants to do that with it being the copycat league. So everybody wants as many pass rushers, and there's plenty of them for sure.
The thing about him, he was a big-time basketball prospect. I bet you Shamar Stewart did not play basketball or didn't play it at a high level. That is the difference in the type of athletes that they are from my standpoint. Who else, like, you know, moving back, do you like Landon Jackson at Arkansas? Did you see him up close? Did you see the kid from UCLA, Oladejo, any of those guys?
Yeah, Oladejo was probably the most improved guy. When you look at they changed defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
And they really, like, found him. I mean, it's another kid with the walk on the inside linebacker who has, you know, led the country in tackles. They had a roster in shambles, so they had to move around a bunch of pieces. So he's productive as heck. Who was the guy you mentioned before him?
Jackson from Arkansas.
Oh, Landon. Yeah, I really like Landon Jackson. Again, a bad football team, but he played in the SEC. And when you watch it, like, and that's my biggest question is how are these three top offensive tackles going to go? I don't really love any of them. I was talking with people at Mizzou. They think the world of Membu because I don't think he's 21 yet. And, you know, he played right tackle. And, you know, they are convinced that, you know, with another year, he would have been their left tackle. But can he do it at the highest level? That's a tough one. But Landon, I mean, strength and again, the production's there on a bad football team. And he's also was the best player on that defense. So every game plan in the SEC when you played Arkansas was containing him, and he still broke through in some big, big spots.
You don't think Mikel Williams will be there at 29, do you?
No, yeah. I don't. Those two Georgia guys I love. I don't understand. I mean, Mikel played with an injury and got hurt, you know, at the beginning of the year. Jalen just, I think, with the way Kirby does things, he moved them around because he loved them so much. If you line those guys up on the outside and they can play in space, they play through traffic. Like, they don't have, like, you know, the old thing with Kirby linebackers at Alabama was how many miles are on their tires. Those guys don't have a lot of miles. I think those two guys are whoever gets those two, I would love what they're getting in those two football players. Those guys, I mean, the build – the tenacity they play with. I read a thing this morning where NFL and Georgia guys think they're going to be better than the kid that went Traylon that went won the Jacksonville a couple years ago against ahead of Hutchinson. So those two guys, give me those two guys all day as far as difference makers, immediate difference makers for teams next year.
All right, let me get your thoughts on some other positions that I think are possible for Washington at 29. Let's start at corner and assume that, you know, Will Johnson's gone. How do you kind of evaluate the corners that might be there at 29?
The kid from Kentucky, I think, is a stud.
Harrison.
If they could, intangibles, I love the way he tackles in space. I think he does a good job. I really trust Stoops with what he does defensively. I know the last guy didn't work out for the Commanders, but I think, again, that was about a situation being asked to do things that he wasn't accustomed to doing. Yeah. But Hairston, I look at a guy that if nobody comes up, I think you feel really good. I think you play in the slot too, which is another, you know, you talk about the NFL and what you need to succeed. It feels like the slot, the nickel, you know, all those star guys, that's a position that he could fill and do well in because he's done it in the SEC. Again, these defensive guys that have played in that league, I think I am biased towards because I know how tough it is and how good it is at that level.
Is there like any other corners that you like a lot? Like if there isn't, that's fine. But there's a player that somebody asked me to watch, and I watched him, and I don't understand why he's not at the very least a night two projection. But is there anybody that, you know? Go ahead.
No, who was that that they asked?
Darian Porter from Iowa State. Have you watched him?
Okay. Yeah.
Number 10?
Their scheme is really, really different. And I think, you know,
it's zone heavy.
Yes, correct. And what are you bringing him into? You know, you go up to Will Johnson. You know, he's done everything. He gambles. Yeah. He's got good ability, but he also tapped out on the season last year. And I didn't like that. But now when you look at Jahdae Barron, who I would take ahead of any corner, God, he could cover ground. He's smart. He baits quarterbacks. He's not a burner, but man, the kid knows how to play defense and he tackles, not afraid of anything. He was the only bright spot in that first Georgia game, being on the sidelines for that one. So I think it's all about what they are accustomed to. If you want a guy that comes in, I mean, there's variety out there, but again, what did they play in? What were they good at? And what are you bringing them into?
Yeah, no doubt about that position.
As far as what you want to do.
Yep.
That's monstrous because you've seen it a million times. Like, you get these corners that, you know, would just want to be locked in, but then you ask them to play in space or play the wide side, they have no idea. And the speed at the NFL, you're eating alive. Offensive coordinator sees a guy on an island that can't play in space, forget it. That's a worse nightmare.
Tell me about the running backs after. I'm assuming you think Genty is a difference maker, but after Genty, who do you love?
I love Hampton.
You do.
Man, I absolutely love him. Again, asked to do a ton on a team that wasn't great in a brutal quarterback situation. I love how he catches the football, and that's what I more so lean to, Kevin, especially in the NFL, is guys that could catch the football out of the backfield. I think it's such an asset. Especially, you know, when you have a young quarterback and they might get caught with some issues processing, you always have a dump off guy that a guy makes the first guy miss, or they just simply can't tackle the guy. The running back thing is, but when they go, they're going to all go. Like you see a team go, it's going to be 4 out of 5 picks the next are running backs because everybody has their guy. I mean, no one's talked about Sampson from Tennessee. That kid had one. I thought he should have been in New York for the Heisman. He was phenomenal.
He was,
and he wasn't healthy against Ohio State, so they couldn't give him the ball. Go down the list, whoever you want to touch on, I could find a positive in all of them. It's 9. I mean, Cam Scadaboo, like you're telling me he can't play football in the NFL. He'll do anything for a team, and you're going to get him in the third round. That's crazy to me. So I do look at all that stuff as far as the running backs, but catching the football is the most important to me.
Yeah, I think there are starting backs and 3-down backs, as many of them as I've seen in a long time in this draft.
Yep.
But other than Genty, I would not use a first round pick on anybody.
I would on Hampton.
Okay,
you might be right.
He might go in the first round.
I think I saw his over under at 19.5. The problem is you're totally bet on somebody else's mindset. So good luck with those draft props.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Steve, it's like Genty is a difference maker. Like, he could be – he's different, obviously, than Barkley just size-wise, but he could be a top 5, you know, massive impact running back in the NFL for the next several years. After that, to me, I'm sure there are going to be a couple that end up being big impact backs, but they all look this – so many of them look the same. Like, I'll tell you, to me, Hampton, Caleb Johnson, Damian Martinez, who I absolutely love, a guy like Devin Neal, Judkins. Caleb Johnson, by the way, they could not throw the football. And every box was 8 or 9 players ready to stop him. I just don't know that there's that much of a difference. And then Travion Henderson's an outlier because he's, I think, the best home run hitter in the draft, running back-wise.
I could see Travion going before Hampton. because, again, you've seen him do it. The foot issue, I know, has been a problem. But I love that you brought up Caleb Johnson because also, Kevin, that's a straight zone scheme. And when you look at so many NFL teams that just run zone. And he measured way bigger than I thought. He's 221, 224, and 6'1". I look at team, and I know the Niners go through running backs like candy, but like if they got him and how much they like to do and how creative they are in a run game, that's a dangerous spot. But Caleb Johnson, I think, has a step ahead when you come to the vision deal of the NFL and running backs having to have it and already doing it in a zone in a system, like you pointed out, where they couldn't throw the football. I love that kid. I think he's a steal. I would put him ahead of Judkins and right behind Trevion and Hampton.
All right, last two more. Wide receiver, just give me your thoughts, and maybe somebody that Washington could look at 61. I don't think they're going to take a receiver at 29. But give me your thoughts on receivers, and then give me the player that you absolutely love, player or two that you absolutely love that nobody's really talking about and you know you're going to be right on.
You're saying 61, so that's what, end of the second?
Give me your receivers. How do you see them?
The most puzzling one to me is Burden. I mean, he was the highest graded out of high school, got all the accolades, was the first Missouri kid that Drink got to go to Missouri, and had an unbelievable sophomore year, and then took a step back his junior year. I think you got to look at these kids getting paid in NIL. Like, did he get a little relaxed? Did he get lackadaisical? Or the word you use that I love, casual. Jalen Noel, I think is going to go higher than 61, but I love that kid out of Iowa State. I really like the kid Kyle Williams out of Washington State.
Love him.
I think he'd do it. And the wild card is Horton out of Colorado State. You go back 2 years, I thought he was the best player on the field after Travis Hunter got knocked out against Colorado. But that kid's a big-time target. And he got nicked up, but he's 6'3", 196. That's a target I know Jaden Daniels will love to throw to, getting some bigger guys. The best kid's a great story. I remember him when he started at LSU. I was like, who's that guy? But Kyle Williams is also a guy that just went through quarterbacks. He was Cam Ward's guy 2 years ago.
Exactly.
At Washington State, and still put up great numbers. Now he's only, 5'11", 190. But when you talk about production and the ability to catch the football, he was phenomenal going through. I think Washington State went through three quarterbacks this year by the end of the bowl game. But he's a guy who played in the bowl game. So those are the guys.
Played great in the bowl game.
He was
awesome in the bowl game. Do you think Tet McMillan is Mike Evans or not?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't either.
No. I think the Drake London comparisons are even too favorable.
Yeah.
When you look at those guys, like you watch Drake London, that guy played basketball. Like he knows how to box
out.
He gets to the ball. And Mike Evans might be the best of all time in this era when you're talking about that stuff. McMillan's more just about – I mean, that system they had was about go balls. He's a go ball guy, but, he could do that at four – I think he ran 4.59, 4.6. You could do that in the Pac-12 when there's less talent. But he's not great at contested catches. He didn't run well. I think it's pretty dicey him going at – I mean, top 10, I way, way more trust Matthew Golden. I really what he did for Texas this year coming from Houston is as dependable as it is. And I really like Ibuka. Dependable, maybe a 1B of McLaurin and what he did at Ohio State. But he could run every route. He could go against any kind of matchup. But those guys aren't going to be there for the commander, so I don't want to waste my time on.
I got 30 seconds. Give me the player that you're absolutely in love with that nobody's talking about.
The kid Fannin, the tight end.
I knew it was going to be a tight end.
At Bowling Green.
Yeah, from Bowling Green.
Yeah, put up stupid numbers. I don't know what he'll look like at the next level. But the kid I absolutely love is Mason Taylor, and I keep reading these things about
how I love him too. Yeah.
He could go to the Eagles. I mean, good God, you want a situation to go to as a tight end? It's incredible. My favorite player though, and I wanted to ask you about that. He's my favorite offensive lineman. And that's Booker out of Alabama.
Everyone loves
the North Dakota State kid, but if he's there at 29, I would love to see him go to the Commanders.
I think if he's there at 29, fit. There's a really good chance they would take him, but I don't think he's going to be there at 29.
The guards thing's a weird deal, and it's really different, Kevin, because like I said, they don't believe in these tackles. And like I've seen now people, Simmons missed, 10 games for Ohio State? Then people have him as the most polished tackle.
Yeah.
And he didn't even play. So Will Campbell scares me. I thought he would be better and watched him in person a bunch. He got eaten alive a bunch of times against South Carolina. But those are NFL guys. But Booker, if he's there at 29, oh, my God, it's a dream for the whole
Talk about like a Washington-style player. Like the character on him is like off the charts. God. Like, I mean, this is Gandhi, apparently. All right.
Kevin, great job. He's from Connecticut, so he has
well, okay. Come on. All right. Great job. Appreciate it. Sorry to keep you so long as usual.
Well, I'll talk
to you later.
Hard out in this segment, so thank you.
There was a hard out. I sailed right through it. See ya. I got to go.
Bye.
Stanford Steve, everybody. I'll give you my thoughts on receivers in this draft next.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
All right, last night the Nats bats were red hot. Nathaniel Lowe hit a two-run bomb in the first inning with James Wood on the bags. That's a two-run bomb. Dylan Cruz hit a solo home run in the sixth. And Mitchell Parker had a career day, producing 8 shutout innings. And yeah, that was a great Nats game. They continue their series tonight right here on the Team 980 against the Baltimore Orioles. Pre-game will begin at 6:15. Adam Schefter has announced the LA Chargers will take on the Detroit Lions in the Hall of Fame game this year. The game kicks off on July 31st. Dylan Strome penned a letter to the Players Tribune detailing how he got to Washington. He said, "I'm so thankful to be here, to be a part of the Caps family. There were times where I thought I might never get to this point, where I might never be on a team like this, in a city like this. I don't take any of this for granted. As far as I'm concerned, he's a cap for life. The Caps will take on Montreal tonight in Game 2 of their playoff series. Alexei Protas was seen out on the ice prior to morning skate, this time wearing a full contact jersey. Could be ready to go in the very near future. Logan Thompson was the first goaltender off the ice at practice this morning. He is likely to get the start. Pre-game at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
All right, we'll finish up with just some thoughts on the wide receivers in this draft. I think Washington's going to come away with a running back. We talked about running backs earlier in the week. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't come away with a wide receiver in this draft. I know a lot of people believe that, you know, edge, running back, corner, and wide receiver, everybody's confident. Well, if they only have 5 picks, there's no guarantee they're going to come away with a player at all of those positions. Remember, you know, they brought back Noah Brown. They signed Deebo Samuel. They, I think, have good feelings about Luke McCaffrey. And they brought in Michael Gallup, you know, as a stretch the field vertical guy. So the receivers are interesting because there is somebody that I've loved for a few years now. But I also said that I don't see Washington selecting this player because I think that he at times may take plays off. And there's too much of perhaps some Jahan Dotson in Luther Burden III. But Luther Burden III is probably the guy in the draft that I like the most at wide receiver because I'm not a big Tet McMillan fan. I don't get why he's going to go top 10, top 15. The size, he's 6'4", he's got big radius, all of that. But, you know, what I asked Stanford Steve in the last segment, do you see him the way some people see him as like Mike Evans? He's not that. Matt Golden, I love the speed. I love the route running ability. I do like him. I like Burden in terms of the talent more than anybody in the draft at wide receiver. I just don't see Washington taking him at 29 again because they like gym rats. They like hustlers. They like guys who are going to block, you know, and he is a dynamic receiver. There's been a lot of criticism about his 2024 season versus 2023 season. He had 61 catches for 676 yards in 2024, whereas in 2023, 86 for 12, 1,212 yards, 9 touchdowns. Look, you could look at the schedule that they played in 2023, and you see a lot of bad defensive teams, by the way, including Jaden Daniels' LSU team in that game, which was an incredible football game and one of my favorite Jaden Daniels games of 2023 because he got hurt in the game and yet, you know, led a comeback 49-39 win. But Burden in that game had 11 catches for 149 yards. LSU's defense stunk. He had over 150 yards catching against Florida's defense that year. They played some bad defensive teams in 2023, and they played better defensive teams in 2024. Not to mention Missouri's team offensively in 2024 wasn't as good as it was in 2023. So there's a lot that is explainable about the differences between Luther Burden's 2023 season and 2024 season. I think he is, you know, way up there on the list of players with the ball in his hands in space. He is electric, and I think he's going to be a great player. I just canceled him off Washington's list because there's discussion about whether or not if the play's coming in his direction, if he plays it out. the way he should. And that's why they traded Jahan Dotson. The number one reason they traded Jahan Dotson. There are similarities. I think he's better, a much better prospect than Dotson. I like Matt Golden. I don't see 4-2-9 as a player. And I asked Logan Paulson that earlier, and he said the same thing. He's like, yeah, he does not run sub 4-3. He's fast. And by the way, he's a good kickoff returner too. But he's going to be gone, I think, by the time 29 comes around. If he actually fell to 29, that would be interesting. Egbuka, for me, is a strong number two, not a number one. The guy that I really like a lot, and if you just go watch the highlight reel of Kyle Williams at Washington State, I don't know how this guy's projected day three or late day two. All right, go watch number two at Washington State last year and the year before when they were still in the Pac-12 and Cam Ward was his quarterback. He's 5'11", 190, ran 4.4 at the combine. Logan called him a receiver's receiver, and he meant by that he just does everything right. Like he understands space, he understands breaks, he understands where to plant, where to come out. This guy separates so easily, by the way, at any position on the field. X, inside, it doesn't matter. This guy looks to me like he is going to be a problem at the next level. I don't understand why he's a projected late night two or day three pick. That there are a couple of players that aren't, you know, projected first rounders or second rounders in this draft that I like. One is a corner that I'll talk about probably tomorrow. Kyle Williams, for me, looks like a guy that if you get him, he is smart. He tracks the ball well. He's athletic. He's fast, but he's also athletic. One of the things, and I was surprised at this, his hand size was the smallest of any of the receivers at the combine, or one of the smallest, but he doesn't drop balls. He's got natural hands, and he's had some big games. You go back to 2023 when they were playing a Pac-12 schedule and Cam Ward was their quarterback. Against Oregon, who was ranked in the top 10, 5 catches, 102 yards. That year against Washington, that was the year Penix Jr. was the quarterback in Washington, and Washington State in the Apple Cup game almost knocked them off. They lost 24-21. Kyle Williams, 5 catches, 85 yards, a touchdown. He is, to me, a guy that looks like he's really tough to cover, and that he's going to be open, and he's going to be, he can take it 75 on a slant, on a wide receiver screen, and on 3rd and 7, he's going to get separation at the sticks. I don't know. I love him. I love Luther Burden, but I think Burden's more of a, you know, will they take a guy that they don't trust to play it out on every play? Kyle Williams has great things said about him from a character standpoint. That's the guy that I really, after spending some time, and somebody pointed me in the direction of a corner that I'll talk about tomorrow. I actually asked Steve about him as well. But Kyle Williams, to me, it makes no sense that he's like wide receiver number 15 and projected to be a third or a fourth round pick. That makes no sense to me at all. The kid from Iowa State, I like, Jalen Noel. Who else was on my list? Oh, I like Ty Felton from Maryland. I talked about him, I think, earlier in the week. I think Ty Felton is a day three pick, but it wouldn't shock me if somebody falls in love with him and he goes on night two. Ty Felton is 6'1", 6'1 and a half, and 185 pounds, and he can line up almost anywhere. And he ran sub 4.4, but you saw it on the field. I mean, and not with good quarterbacking this last season. He also, by the way, like Kyle Williams plays special teams, not as a returner, as a kick coverer, and by the way, had a couple of block kicks off the edge. And Felton plays special teams as well. So there you go. Receivers. Doing some work for you. Be wrong on most of it, but it's fun to look at it and talk about it. All right, draft day's tomorrow. We'll have predictions. We'll take calls. We'll have probably another guest or two on the show as well. Chris is next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.